Welcome to this episode of the Reverse Alzheimer's Summit. I'm delighted to introduce you to Lara Pizzorna today. She is not only the author of Healthy Bones, Healthy You, her latest book, she is a clear expert in the connection between nutrition and bone health, and especially in just healthy living and longevity in general. She is clearly committed, you'll see and learn very quickly. She's committed to the science, really high integrity information, and I'm so excited that she's here to share it with you today. Lara, welcome.
Thank you so much for inviting me to do this. I really hope the information will be helpful for people.
It's an absolute privilege to have you here. Our audience may recognize your last name, Dr. Joe Pizzorno, one of my teachers at Bastyr University and one of the founders of Bastyr University, where I was trained as a naturopath, is Lara's husband. And so together, they work together, again, in this commitment to the science, to sharing with people all that we know about natural medicine and how it supports health through many medical journals. And so I'm just thrilled and privileged to have you here today. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Let's dive into this. You know, obviously as a woman, bone health is really important to us. And so is that what drew you to it? Do you have family members or do you personally suffer with osteoporosis?
Well, I will be the first woman in all the generations of my family that I know about, like several generations back, to not die prematurely from a hip fracture. Every woman in my family that I know of died for that reason earlier than they should have. And when I was in my early 40s, although I am married to Joe Pizzorno, and I thought I was doing everything I needed to do to take care of my bones, we were at a medical conference and in the exhibit hall. I'm 74. I was 45 at the time. So this is a while ago. And they had a piece of equipment in the exhibit hall at this conference that would check the bone density in your ankle. And they were, you know, pushing this for doctors, a lot less expensive than a DEXA machine, et cetera. So we went over and I tried it. And I thought, I'm so healthy, I'm going to be wonderful. Well, no, I was severely osteopenic already at age 45, well before menopause, which I did not go through until I was 52. At that point, you know, Joe was kind of embarrassed and I realized that I had to figure it out or I was going to die. So it was a major inspiration for me to dive into all the research on bone health. And I have been focused on it now pretty much entirely since for the last 35 years.
It's really impressive. And I'll share with our audience that you are the reason my mom is not on bisphosphonates. I read your books when I was in training and realized the nuance here, right? That a lot of the medications that are suggested maybe don't reduce the risk in the way that we would have hoped that they did. They might actually increase some of the risk of these highly detrimental fractures like hip fractures, and then also the bone degradation in the jaw potentially. So let's kind of jump into some of these pieces. First, like, can you just break down what is osteoporosis?
Osteoporosis is when your bones become so fragile that you can just do normal, you know, activities and have a fracture. Bones are constantly remodeling throughout our life. Every 10 years, all the cells in your body have been renewed. And in individuals, it varies, but within 7 to 10 years, your bones will have been fully replaced with new cells. And so this process is going on all the time. Bone remodeling involves the breakdown and removal of old, you know, brittle bone and its replacement with new healthy bone. And many factors cause that process to get out of balance. It's a lot quicker and easier to demolish something like your bones than to rebuild new bone. I mean, you think about, you know, just compare it to a house or a building. It takes a few hours for a building to be demolished. It takes months for the building to be rebuilt. Well, it's a similar process in your body So if that balance gets out of place, if the cells that break down your bones, those are called osteoclasts, and if those cells get stimulated too much to remove bone, they will remove more bone than the cells that replace it, which are called osteoblasts, can effectively do in time. So the end result of that is you lose bone. And so over time, that, you know, that will become osteoporosis. First, it's osteopenia. It's called bone thinning. And then you get full out osteoporosis.
So osteopenia is kind of a step on the way to osteoporosis.
Right.
And that's something that we can measure. You already mentioned a DEXA scan, but there's other tests that we can use as well, right, to understand our bone health.
Absolutely. The ones that I really prefer, well, one goes with the DEXA scan. It's called a trabecular bone scan or a TBS. And what that does is it measures, so the DEXA scan just measures how much bone mineral is there. It doesn't tell you whether that bone mineral is healthy, if it's well interconnected, so it's, you know, your bones are resistant to fracture. The trabecular bone score measures the connectivity within inside your bones and how resistant to fracture they are. It's just a different software program that is used to analyze the same DEXA scan that gives you the DEXA report of bone mineral density, and it's called trabecular bone score. And more hospitals are offering this now. It's just, it doesn't add anything to your time there or anything. And I don't know if it's covered by all the insurance, but it's not that expensive to just pay for that additional scan yourself.
Instead of asking just how much bone is there, this is saying, what's the quality of the bone that's there?
Exactly. Yeah, the bone mineral density, DEXA just tells you how much. It doesn't tell you if it's in good shape or not. TBS will tell you the quality.
That's fantastic and such important information, right? Because kind of going back to these bisphosphonates or other medications, what my understanding was that they created more bones or they stopped your bones.
And they don't create more bone. They prevent the removal of old bone. And the whole bone renewal process is forget the exact medical term that's used, but it's linked. Okay. It's you have to have the first thing has to happen. The osteoclasts have to be activated for the osteoblasts to then be activated. And so when the osteoclasts become active, they liberate all these nutrients and things that have been stored in your bones. And that is what activates the osteoblasts to come in and use those nutrients and rebuild bone for you. If you don't have the osteoclasts releasing all of that, you don't get the osteoblasts activated. And so what the bisphosphonates do is they poison osteoclasts. So you never get step one in the process. I mean, yes, we don't want too much osteoclast activity, but you have to have some or your bones will not renew.
So then your DEXA might look better, but this nuance between not just the amount of bone, but the quality of bone is what you're lacking with the use of those bisphosphonates, right?
And that is why after a few years, your risk of fracture goes up because the bone that you have is not resilient.
Right. Okay. So you were telling me right before we started recording, and I was quick to say, hey, wait, I want to share this with everyone, that there's a nuance again when it comes to the nutrient requirements for people who are ApoE4 positive. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. People who are ApoE4 positive clear out their vitamin K a lot faster than the average person. And so people who are ApoE4 positive need more vitamin K than the average person. And this should be, there are lab tests that can be run to check your vitamin K status. So what vitamin K does is it activates proteins that your brain needs to protect itself as well. That's a protein called GAS6, but for bone, vitamin K activates two types of proteins that are essential for bone health. One is called osteocalcin. And when osteocalcin becomes activated, it pulls calcium into your bones. And when it's not activated, that doesn't happen very well, okay? The other thing, the other protein that's activated by vitamin K is vitamin K2, not vitamin K1 that does these, is called matrix GLA protein. And that enzyme prevents calcium from depositing where you don't want it to, like in your cardiovascular system, in your blood vessels, in your particularly in your kidneys. Like you have very, very tiny little fragile blood supply vessels in your kidneys. And when in your kidneys, that is the section of your body that is, sorry, my cat is walking across the screen. That is the area of your body where the majority of the activation of vitamin D occurs. Now, vitamin D that's circulating in your bloodstream gets converted to a form called 25-OHD in your liver. And then it goes to your kidneys. And in your kidneys, it gets activated into a form called 125D. That's the hormonal active form. That is the form that does things for you. The form that circulates in your bloodstream, 25-OHD, sorry, my cat, is not active, and it doesn't do all the things that you need vitamin D to do for you. And vitamin D is incredibly protective for the brain, as well as, you know, is required for us to absorb calcium.
I love it. This is such a good reminder. This is why we're having this conversation, right?
Right.
We know that women are at higher risk of developing osteoporosis, particularly postmenopausal women. And it's very similar risk factors for dementia. And then if you throw APOE4 positive genetic status on top of it, we have even more risk. And a lot of our audience here, it fits into that category. Not everyone, but a lot of us. And so the nutrients, just to summarize the nutrients, and let's expand on that as well, actually, vitamin D and K are important not only for brain health, but also for bone health, of course. Oh,
they're essential, yeah.
They're absolutely essential. And what are some of the other nutrients? You know, calcium comes up so much, but I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about calcium being so important for bones, or maybe the ways or the reasons that that's important, and the dairy connection here. I would love for you to go into that. And then what other nutrients might we think of if we want strong bones?
Wow. Well, there's a lot of them. I tried to summarize the key ones in Healthy Bones, Healthy You. There are at least 13 or 14 trace minerals that are really important for bone, and they're no longer in our food supply because of the conventional fertilizers, the high phosphate fertilizers that are used now to grow our food. Do not replace these minerals in the soil. And in fact, they put cadmium into the soil, which is a toxic heavy metal that causes bone loss. Didn't look at cadmium and Alzheimer's, but I would not be surprised to find a connection, because cadmium destroys your kidneys. So, you know, then a lot of other things cascade down from that. I'm sorry, you asked about
calcium. Tell us about calcium and how we should consume it, maybe things to avoid, like what makes sense there? Because I know a lot of my patients will come in and they've seen a conventional medical doctor and they're like, take 1,000 milligrams of calcium every day.
Much, yeah.
Is that the right thing to do?
Well, we need postmenopausal women, who I'm assuming is going to be a significant portion of our audience. So and that's me. I know the most about my group, so I will talk primarily about that. Men need calcium too, but postmenopausal women need 1,200 milligrams to 1,500 milligrams of calcium daily. And that's total. Okay, you're supposed to be eating food, real food, which has lots of other nutrients in it besides just calcium. And you need to look at how much calcium your food is providing for you, and then make up whatever you're lacking with a supplement. But taking supplemental calcium at a dose of 1,000 milligrams a day, even the average intake of calcium from the diet in the US and postmenopausal women is between 450 and 650 milligrams daily. So that's too much. Like you don't want to be taking just a calcium supplement. The other thing is that calcium doesn't work by itself. Calcium, for you to absorb calcium, you have to have vitamin D, and it has to have been activated by your kidneys. Okay. And to regulate what happens to the vitamin D once you have absorbed it, you need vitamin K2. If you don't have K2 around, you will not activate osteocalcin, matrix Gla protein, and Gal6, which are going to make sure that that calcium is, your brain doesn't get overloaded with calcium, it goes to your bones and it doesn't go to your vasculature. So these things all work together. So I, you know, you can't really talk about a nutrient. Nutrients are team players.
Right. Yeah. So what foods do you point people in the direction of to get healthy nutrients for their bones?
If someone is not allergic to dairy products, I highly recommend foods like yogurt, you know, organic yogurt derived from pastured cows, so that it has, you know, a healthy omega-6-3 balance and some probiotic organisms in it. We try to have yogurt almost every day. If you can't have dairy products, there are a variety of alternative yogurts now made from cashew and coconut and various other options for people that can't have dairy products. But if you can have dairy products, they are really beneficial if they're from pastured cows,
right?
Not the conventionally produced dairy products that have many things in them you do not want, you know, hormones and pesticide residues and a lot of other things that are inflammatory that you want to avoid.
And then leafy greens have a lot of minerals.
Absolutely. Kale is probably the superstar, but you know, any leafy green that you like.
Yeah.
And it's a really good idea to eat lots of them, you know, eat a variety of them, kale and spinach. And with spinach, there's a proviso. If you are someone who makes smoothies and you can put in, you know, pounds of spinach, like normal human beings don't eat pounds of spinach in a salad. It's too much spinach. And then it can cause oxalate. It has oxalic acid in it and it can cause problems for your kidneys. So you don't want to overdose on spinach by having pounds of it every day. But spinach is a really healthful green. Kale, arugula, Swiss chard is wonderful. And these greens not only have vitamin K1, which your body, if your digestive system is working properly, your gut flora can convert K1 into K2. But they also have like minerals, if things that are organically grown are going to have all these other compounds that your bones need. They'll have phenols, they'll have trace minerals, magnesium, which is really important for bone, and also for protecting your brain. Magnesium plays a huge role in protecting the brain.
And there's so much overlap.
That was too much information all at once.
Not at all. Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about nutrients. One more piece I want people to hear there too, is there anything really important to avoid? Like, are there things, especially in a standard American diet, that are commonly consumed that are hard on our bones?
Oh, yes. Yeah, many, many things. Pretty much processed foods are bad for you. You know, they come in plastic containers. I'm sure Joe talked about this. Some of the compounds in the plasticizers screw up how your metabolism works. They're high in very high in sodium, which is really destructive for the kidneys. And it also causes other hormones to increase, like FGF23, and it causes imbalances that promote cardiovascular disease. If you can possibly just buy real food, right. You know, you can't go wrong with like walking around the perimeter of the grocery store where the food has to be refrigerated or it will spoil, you know, and buying real food and trying to cook for yourself as much as you can. I think a lot of the grocery stores now, especially the ones that have organic foods, will have like a deli or something where you can buy some prepared foods. I realize it is challenging for people to cook for themselves.
It's time consuming, right? I can relate. Yeah. So, okay, nutrients are one component of this. There are other components. Let's launch into the hormonal component of bone health. What are your thoughts, especially as people age, about hormonal signaling to bones?
Well, I am a strong proponent of bioidentical hormone replacement. Unlike the conventional hormone replacement, which uses synthetic forms and forms that are altered in, of the hormones that are not like the natural hormones that our bodies really produce. Although there's some improvement in that now, we're seeing, you know, more natural forms of bioidentical hormones in the conventional prescriptions. But you really want to, estrogen plays a huge role, and it is also hugely neuroprotective. So when we lose that protection, that is one of the reasons that women are more at risk of developing osteoporosis and cognitive decline than men, because of the loss of estrogen. Estrogen is hugely anti-inflammatory, and it protects both our bones and our brains through dozens of mechanisms. And I strongly recommend considering bioidentical hormone replacement. There's been a lot of discussion of late that it's dangerous for people if they haven't started it right away. That is not true. If you're properly tested and monitored, you should have no problems with it. And the problems that have been associated with hormone replacement are not seen with bioidentical hormone replacement. They're only seen with conventional hormone replacement. Right. If you're working with a physician who's competent, you will have either, it's called a Dutch test, or Meridian Valley Lab offers these 24-hour urine comprehensive hormone analyses that give you a full overview of where your body is and how it's metabolizing your hormones. So if something is off, you can use natural, you know, pretty much dietary therapies to reverse that and have healthier metabolites. And also with bioidentical estrogen, it's not just estradiol is a very potent form of estrogen. It is the only form that is used in conventional hormone replacement. The biest form, the bioidentical hormone replacement form of estrogen that is most commonly used, is a combination of estriol, which is another type of estrogen, with estradiol. And it's 80% estriol, which is an extremely safe and gentle form of estrogen that gets the jobs done that you want done without increasing your risk of cardiovascular disease and cancer. And then about 20% of estradiol. So
that's what I routinely use. Now, is there a role for DHEA, pregnenolone, progesterone, or testosterone in bone health?
Oh, absolutely. And you cannot. So progesterone is involved in osteoblast production and activity. And you should never, ever, ever have estrogen without balancing it with progesterone. The two issues with estrogen being potentially causing cancer are greatly exacerbated when progesterone is not there. What you want to do, and I'll quote a physician who has been like a hero for me for 50 years, Dr. Jonathan Wright. One of the sayings that he has that I think is the most important is mimic nature. You want to, as closely as possible, mimic what your body did when you were premenopausal and producing hormones. So you want to cycle the hormones. You want to, you know.
Yeah. So you do want to cycle the hormones. You're a fan of that.
Absolutely. So the first couple of weeks, that first 10 days of a cycle, you use biased and DHEA, because DHEA is very protective in many ways, and can eventually be converted to progesterone, and testosterone, which also helps build bone. But so for the first 10 days, you just use biased with DHEA, and then for the remainder of the cycle, you add in progesterone. And then at the end of the cycle, you take 3 days off and you could continue to use DHEA, but you don't use biased and you don't use progesterone. That's what your body did when you were
cycling.
Menopausal and healthy. Right.
Right. Right. Okay. So hormones are a really important piece of bone health as well as brain health. Right. Now, another big place of overlap is exercise. So what is the most important type of exercise if we want to take care of our bones as we age?
Well, it has to be weight bearing. You know, unfortunately, swimming is not going to do it. You've got to, whatever you like to do. I mean, just get out and walk, you know, get outside. For one thing, being outside in nature is very restorative on many levels. And there's a huge psycho-spiritual connection that we all ignore, but really is impacting us every second of our lives. So you want to try to support that. But there are many types of exercise that will work. I personally, I'm Stop Pilates certified, so I've done that for many years. But you can, and you can do mat work at home. You don't have to, you know, go somewhere and pay, you know, $100 for a session to exercise. But you can do Pilates mat work. There's a my favorite form of exercise for the last few years has been what I call bar three. And it's a combination of ballet, yoga, and Pilates exercises. And you can do it in your own home. All you need is, you know, a mat on the floor and a computer monitor so that you can watch the screen. And there are, you know, there are bar studios in many, many areas of the country. If you don't have one, you can join bar3.com online and you can get access to, you know, thousands and thousands of exercise classes, and they update them all the time. So those are really good, but you want something that helps you maintain your muscle mass, because the term for loss of muscle, which is very commonly seen with aging and is a huge factor in osteoporosis, is called sarcopenia. So it's muscle wasting. So we want to maintain your muscles when we are active and our muscles attach to our bones and they put stress on our bones, that activates a type of cell. It's the most prevalent type of cell in your bones. It's called an osteocyte. And the osteocytes, they're mechanosensors, and they're activated by exercise, which puts stress on areas. And they tell your bones, hey, rebuild, get stronger. And if you don't exercise, that doesn't happen. So, you know how when astronauts go into space and they're weightless and so on, and they lose bone. So it's the same for us. If we're not and the reason why is their osteocytes are not being activated.
So if one of our listeners has already gotten a diagnosis of osteoporosis, is there hope for them?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my goodness. Yes. That's why I wrote the book. Like, no one should have osteoporosis. It's completely preventable. It's completely reversible. You know, I suppose if you've broken half the bones in your body, it may be impossible. But outside of that, if you just have a diagnosis of osteoporosis, I'm the expert on a bone health group. It's called the AlgaPal community. It's on Facebook. And it started 3 years ago. It now has 28,000 members.
Wonderful.
And I try to respond to people's questions about things that they can do to help support their bone health. And I have now personally seen, at least 400 or 500 over the last 3 years, DEXA scans before and after doing the things that I recommend in Healthy Bones, Healthy You.
That's fantastic.
Where people have, you know, 10-15% increase in a year in
That's
bone mineral
amazing.
Density from DEXA scans. I've seen these over and over and over.
It's so exciting. And I can relate, yeah. Right? Because I've seen MoCA scores, the cognitive testing, go up. And I'm sure, like you, many of the other doctors, conventional doctors, they're just not used to seeing it. So they look at these tests and they go, what? Wait, did you do the test wrong last time? Or they feel like something's off because it's just so contrary to what they're used to seeing. My mom's doctor did that to her. Her DEXA scan had improved.
I thought it was wrong.
He thought it was wrong. It was really funny.
Wow.
But she said, no, I've been doing everything my daughter told me to do and it's working. It's really fun to see that and so hopeful. So I want to make sure everybody knows exactly where to find that group on Facebook. So can people join?
Pardon me?
Can people join?
So it is a group that is supported by a company that makes, in my opinion, the best and most effective bone health supplement available. It's the only bone health supplement that has been shown in three human studies now. The last one, a 7-year study of postmenopausal women with severe osteoporosis who reversed it. At any rate, that company supports the Facebook community. And so if you use any of their products, they only have a couple of products. The bone health supplement that I use myself and I think is so important, it's called AlgaCal Plus. And then they have a strontium product. Anybody here who has osteoporosis is probably familiar with the use of natural forms of strontium to promote bone health. Strontium is just amazing. It really, really promotes bone health. And then they have a really good omega-3 supplement. So if you're Will using you any of that? Those.
Would you spell AlgaCal for our listeners?
Sure. AlgaCal.
Excellent. Okay.
And so with the use of any of those products, you get access to the Facebook community and you get access to me. I do my best to respond to questions and I do lectures and stuff that are videotaped for that group.
Wow. Okay. So this is really exciting. How else can our listeners find out more about you and where to get your books?
Well, you can Google me. You can look for me on PubMed. I've published a variety of articles that are in PubMed listed journals. I'm on ResearchGate. So I think that would be the easiest way.
Great.
You can go to Amazon and get Healthy Bones, Healthy You.
I love it. And then through AlgaCal and that Facebook community, there's almost direct access to you get your insights and wisdom, and also to this amazing community that is showing what's possible for those suffering with osteoporosis and how it is, it's totally doable to reverse it.
Yes.
This is really exciting stuff to share. And I just so appreciate you taking the time to spread this message of hope, to let people know that there are ways to increase their bone health. And by the way, when you do that, you're also improving your brain health, because there's so much overlap between the two in terms of nutrients, hormonal signaling, exercise, and I'm sure much more. We didn't even talk about sleep. Is there a connection between sleep and bone health?
Absolutely. Circadian rhythms affect how your metabolism runs. Right. And when they're off, nothing is working really properly. And those things affect bone. I hadn't been as aware of the connections between osteoporosis and Alzheimer's until recently. I just, dove into the research to look at it. And some of the studies I saw suggested there was a sixfold increase in risk for Alzheimer's with osteoporosis. So, it really is something to look into.
Right.
And it is correctable. It is really correctable. And all the things that you do to support the health of your bones, support the health of your brain.
It's so exciting. Great. It's the double whammy.
It's very efficient.
Yes.
It can be very efficient.
We love that. We love that. Lara, thank you so much for joining us. It's such a privilege to have you. I couldn't be more grateful for your time and for your expertise and wisdom. Thank you for joining us.
You are so welcome. It's my wish that no one should have osteoporosis anymore. And I do think we can correct it.
It's possible.
Together, all of us.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you for doing the work you do in the world. We're so lucky to have you.
And I feel the same way about you. So, okay. All right, dear.